I don't know if you know it, but today is Palm Sunday. And so I thought it'd be appropriate that I would entitle my sermon Palm Sunday, or Why Was Jesus Riding a Donkey? Many call this Jesus' triumphal entry. And you know, this story is in all four of the Gospels. But today I'd like us to look at the Gospel of Mark. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 11. It'll also be up above me. Mark chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it and sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" I think it would have been a blast to be at this event. To see everyone just praising God, running up and down the streets, hollering. You know, they start from the Mountain of Olives and they move down through the Kindred Valley and then through the Eastern Gate, the city of Jerusalem. It would have been a parade that I don't think I would ever forget. You know what? America loves parades. Every Thanksgiving, I have to admit, I get up and I watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But what's weird about that, though, is there's people that will go there hours before in the freezing cold just so they get a good spot at this parade. And then New Year's Day, a number of the networks show a parade that lots of people watch. And then what about amusement parks? We go to Disney World some, and I'm amazed how early people will get in line to sit just to see the characters come by. They will, instead of enjoying the park, they'll sit there for like 3 to 4 hours in the heat just so they're right in front to see the characters go by. I'm just thinking, man, I think I'd enjoy the park more than waiting for a parade. And then what about the Super Bowl parades or the World Series teams? They come home and they have great parades. Parades are often to celebrate victories, and sometimes parades are here to honor returning heroes. This particular event was similar to that parade in the fact that they were honoring Jesus. But this was much more important than parades that we see today, because Jesus was about to do something he had never done before. You see, he repeatedly cautioned others not to speak about him and to praise him, but he was getting ready to allow his followers to do just that, to show a public demonstration in his honor. So today I'd like to look at a few aspects of this. And the first one I'd like to look at is, let's look at the crowd. First off, this was near Passover, so there was lots of Jewish people coming into Jerusalem, and I think they had heard of Jesus, so they were like, I'd like to check this out. Then there were the followers. They followed Jesus all the way down to this area, and they were here to praise him. And then, what about those that witnessed maybe his miracles? They, I think, were here to see him. Maybe they wanted to see another miracle. And then I think there were some people I'm going to call the sightseers. They had heard about him. They were like, who is this guy? Let's check him out. You see, Jesus was coming, and the crowds were following him, and they were coming out to meet him. And then it says that they began cutting leafy branches from the fields. They began to lay them out before him. And then it said others took off their garments and laid them down. I think it's kind of odd that you would take off your garment and lay down, because think about it. This donkey's going to come across it. All the people are going to trample on it. I can't see some of you that are really into clothes ever wanting to lay your garments down like this. But if you see in 2 Kings chapter 9, it tells how they welcome a king. It was customary for people to lay down their outer garments on the path. With Jesus' triumphal entry, they also laid down the festive branches. You see, they were honoring their king. most of the people were greeting Jesus wildly. They were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna, by the way, in Hebrew stands for save now. And this is also, this whole part right here, if you can find it, you can look back in Psalm 118, verse 26, and it talks about it. Of course, Jesus knew the people were quoting this psalm, but he allowed them to go right ahead. He allowed them to shout and praise him because, for once, he was openly affirming his kinship to David. With Jesus as their king, I think they were thinking, wow, we finally are going to get some victory. Finally, we're going to attack and we're going to get victory over Rome. But they really didn't have an idea of what kind of king Jesus was. I'd like to point out another group that was there, but you don't see it in this part of the scripture. But if you look back, if you look over to Romans 19, verses 39 through 40, it says this. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if they were silent, the very stones would cry out." See, the other people in the crowd were these Jewish authorities. And the sight of this awesome welcoming made them very upset. They seemed that there was nothing they could do to stop these people from honoring Jesus. Another area of this passage is, let's take a look at Jesus. You know, think about this. This is probably a crazy situation. People are screaming and hollering, praising his name. There's no way Jesus could have said much to the crowd. So what Jesus does is he sends two of the disciples to get a donkey's colt, and he rode in on it. You know, if you think about this, at first glance, that seems really odd. But this was a dramatic fulfilling of the prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah is the second to the last, or excuse me, is the next to the last book in the Old Testament. But Mark doesn't quote Zechariah. In Matthew and also in John, they quote Zechariah. In Zechariah 9:9, it shows that it's a clear prediction concerning the triumphal entry of Jesus to Jerusalem. Zechariah 9:9 says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This passage explains to us some of the things about Jesus and why it's important for him to be in this parade. Notice it says this, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation." This parade announcing plainly that Jesus is the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he was offering salvation to everyone. But it was also saying something very special about Jesus. You usually think of a donkey as kind of a lowly animal. But not in the East. They considered it very noble. You see, kings, princesses, and judges rode upon a donkey. A king rode upon a horse when he was bent on war. But he rode on a donkey when he came in peace. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He was coming in peace. Also, I love this, Jesus was deliberately challenging the religious leaders. This parade was one of the things that set in motion the official plot that led to his arrest, his trial, and at the end, his crucifixion. The next area I'd like to look at is, let's take a look at the donkey's owners. In the passage we read, it says, some of them were standing there. But if you look over in Luke, it calls them the owners of this donkey. Notice the word owners. It's plural. You see, I think donkeys were expensive. Maybe one person couldn't afford to have one, so maybe they pooled funds together to have this donkey. And then the day finally comes, and Jesus tells the disciples, "Go into the town. You'll find a colt, a donkey, one that no one has ever ridden. And when you find it, untie it. And if anyone asks you, tell them the Lord needs it, and that will be enough." When I read that, I thought, what were those two disciples thinking about? They were walking, and they're probably talking to each other. Okay, he wants us to do what? He wants us to untie this donkey, and if anyone asks, say, the Lord needs it. I was kind of thinking, one of them would probably go, I'd be like, okay, you go watch out, I'll untie it, and then let's run as fast as we can. But no, that's not what they did. You know, they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They found the colt, they untied it, and as they did, the owner said to them, "What are you doing?" And they're like, "The Lord needs it." Here's what some people say about the owners. They said maybe the owners were followers of Jesus. Some say that maybe they had heard about him, and when they realized that this was the Lord that needed it, they were like, "No problem." They gave it up immediately. No matter how important this donkey was, they gave one of their prized possessions. You see, donkeys were a means of transportation. They were beasts of burden. They helped them to plant things in the field. They helped them do basically anything that a man could not do himself. So this young donkey was a very valuable possession. Yet Jesus said, "Tell them the Lord needs it." When they heard that, what did they do? They gave it. They gave the best that they had. They gave the most that they had to give. Don't say this out loud, but think about something that's really important to you. Not a person, but a thing. Say it's your house. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's something that you've had that you just cherish. And then ask yourself this. If Jesus came to you and said, "I have need of that. I'd like to have it." What would you want to give it? Or would you surrender it like those owners surrendered that donkey? Would you be willing to take it and let Jesus use it no matter what, no matter how long? Or would you want to just hold on to it and not give it to him? I love their response. They said, "Whatever the Lord needs, it's his. Have it." And so they gave their donkey. Why? Why did they give it? Because they realized that Jesus needed it. No questions were asked. They gave it. They gave it freely. You know, I think we can learn a lot from these owners. We can learn a lot that when Jesus asks us to give us something, we need to give it freely. The last area I'd like to share about in this passage is, let's take a look at that donkey. When I was reading this passage, I thought about donkeys, and I thought, you know, donkeys have, there's a number of places in Scripture that talks about donkeys. One is, a donkey taught Balaam a very valuable lesson. Some people believe that when Mary was pregnant, that she rode a donkey to Bethlehem. Others say that when they were escaping from Herod into Egypt, that Mary and baby Jesus rode a donkey. And now, think about this. The last part of his life, we see a donkey carrying Jesus into his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Okay, I want to ask this. How many of you have ever ridden a horse? Hands up. Wow. I'm amazed. Okay, hands down. Now, how many of you have ever ridden a donkey? Oh, more hands than I thought. Wow. I've ridden horses many times. I love horses. The two greatest times I ever rode a horse was we were in youth camp in Colorado, and I got to ride a horse through the mountains of Colorado, and that was so cool. The second time, Andrea and I were near the rainforest of Puerto Rico, and we rode on the outskirts of the rainforest. Both of those times, I realized I just love riding horses. Now, I've also ridden a mule down the Grand Canyon. Now, I know mules aren't donkeys, so don't throw things at me, but they're similar, okay? And I want you to know, I enjoyed looking at the Grand Canyon, but riding a mule down the canyon wasn't so much fun. As I was preparing my sermon today, I started thinking about the differences between my time on horses and my one time on a mule. And I thought about it, and I thought, horses are beautiful animals. Their coats shine in the sun. They have flowing manes. They have long, graceful legs. And you know what? When you hear a horse's sound, it sounds powerful and radiant. Now let's compare this to a donkey. Its hair looks similar to some of you when you wake up in the morning and you haven't combed your hair yet. You know, I don't have that problem. And its mane is nothing beautiful to behold. Its ears are long and big and floppy. And get this. You ever heard one make a sound? That's it. And you just laugh because you're like, oh my gosh. One thing, though, to take notice about this young donkey is It had never been ridden before. But yet, it allows them to place a coat over it and to Jesus to get on. And people are shouting and screaming. It doesn't take off. I tell you, when I rode those donkeys down the Grand Canyon, you would make some certain noises and they would be gone. And I thought I was falling off the canyon. But not this one. It was calm. People were shouting, "Hosanna!" And it sees them spreading the branches and the clothes down before it. And you know what? For one little bit of time, this donkey is not really, that wasn't supposed to be in a parade, is in one. It is the focal point of attention. Why? Because Jesus needed it. This donkey was carrying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tomorrow, this donkey's going to be forgotten. It'll be back in the corral again. But today, it was in a parade with Jesus. Today, it is where we would think a horse usually would be. Today, it was the prancing stallion carrying the victor to his throne. You see, Jesus made all the difference. But just like this donkey, we don't belong. But then Jesus comes, and he makes all the difference. Palm Sunday, I believe, has a message for the church today. And that message is this. Jesus is passing by, and he's saying, "I need you. I need all that you have to offer." And you know what? Jesus is saying, "I have to offer eternal life, and I want to give it to you freely." I think there are some of you here today that are probably, maybe you have not heard much about Jesus. You don't know much about him. Kind of like those people that probably just heard about him and wanted to come and see him. Maybe there's some today, like those from Galilee that followed him. You've been following Jesus, but maybe you haven't praised him in a while. Maybe you haven't even talked to him in a while. Or maybe there's some of you that are like the owners. Whatever Jesus has asked for, you openly give. You help to put into motion God's plan. You understand that what it was like to sacrifice for Christ. Each of us are like the donkey, and God wants to change us. He wants to transform us. He wants to make us new again. I'd like to close with this. I'd like you to think today, maybe you're someone that has never asked Christ to be the Lord of your life. You don't know what this means for him to come in and to be your Lord. I'd love to talk with you. The staff would love to talk to you. At the end of service, we're going to be up here on the stage. We'd love to talk to you about this. Maybe you're someone that, you know, you saw the two that were baptized today, and you're thinking, "I'm a believer, but I've never taken that next step. I've never gone and done an outward symbol of an inward commitment that I have for Christ." I encourage you to come up and talk to us about that today. Maybe you're someone that life's just hard. You have some things in life that you'd like us to pray with you about. We'd love to talk with you. We'd love to pray with you about these things today. Whatever it is, after the offering and after the final music, we're going to be up here. We'd love to talk to you. As the ushers would come forward, I'd like to close us in prayer. I'd like to also say this. If you have an info card and you're a visitor, that's all we ask that you place in the offering plate. Members and visitors, if you have a prayer request, you don't want to come up and share that with us, but you would love for someone to pray with you, take the time to write that prayer request down on your cards. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. God, as I looked at your word this week, and I realized that, Lord, it said in your word that if we do not praise you, the rocks will cry out in praise of you. So God, I thank you for your word. I thank you how this story shows how people praised you. And God, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the owners and what we can learn from those owners. How God, they gave you the most important thing they had. Lord, they gave you because you asked. They didn't ask questions. Lord, I think sometimes I would want to ask those questions, but God, they didn't. So God, I ask that you can show that to me and show that to those here, that when you ask for something, we will give it freely. God, if there's someone here today that they have no idea who you are, that, Lord, they will come up and talk to one of us, and find out what it means for you to be the Lord of Lords of their lives. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for what we can learn from it. And God, I just ask that you take this offering, bless it, Lord, and use it for your kingdom growth here in Tempe and all over the world. Thank you so much for all you've done for us today. God, I ask that the next song or two that we can just praise you like they did. Shout your name out. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.